When I was drifting out in sin, I had no peace, no joy within. But Jesus came and made me glad. The dearest friend I ever had.
He saved my soul.
He saved my soul.
Amen. What a blessing. That's great. And thank the Lord for that. I just don't see Tim Jones anywhere is where I don't see. All right. And I think he should be a part of that. All right. And I do think it's sad, Josh, they didn't give you a tie as well, you know. So, yeah. Right. I got you. Matthew chapter 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7. All right. What a blessing. We're thankful that you're here tonight and pray that God will truly bless. And I do, my family and I, as I said, will be at the, of course, the special adoption tomorrow at the courthouse in Springfield. And then we are heading to Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, is where we're heading to the Victory Conference at Falls Baptist Church. We've gone there for years. I've gone there for many years. And my wife and son have come with me just to be a blessing. And it's a time of obviously training and preaching and all of that's great. And they've asked me to preach this year on Tuesday afternoon. So you pray that the Lord will bless. And I'm looking forward to that. As I said this morning, Abby and Caleb are going to drive up and be with us just for one day, really not even a full day, but at least we'll get to see them just a little bit. They do have a Chick-fil-A in Menominee Falls. I want you to know that. Okay, there's one there. And y'all know we are having Chick-fil-A delivering to our school every week. I mean, it's like a little bit of heaven on earth, you know? I mean, it really is. And they come in every week. Our kids, they're getting more and more spiritual as it goes, all right? And so it's really good. Some of the kids have said, where's the sweet tea, Pastor? I said, let's just start with the chicken first, all right? And let's stay with that. Well, this morning I began talking about Matthew chapter number 7, and the Lord has kind of led me on many of these Sundays to take an entire Sunday to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night on a subject. Last week I dealt with the Holy Spirit, and I talked about the Spirit of God comes to indwell us when we come to know Christ as our Savior. But today, this morning, I preached on where are you building your house? And we talked about the foundation of our life. And tonight, I want to get a little more in-depth about this, and I want to preach on this subject, build a strong foundation. Now, how do you build a strong foundation? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7, and I want you to allow the Lord to speak to your heart tonight. Matthew 7, verse number 24. Once again, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." When we think about the Christian life, the Christian life is not a list of do's and don'ts. The Christian life is a relationship that we have with God. It is knowing God, and God has created us with the ability to know Him. In fact, the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. That doesn't mean that we look like God. It means that we are made to have fellowship with God. We can talk to God and God can talk to us. Now, God does not speak to us in an audible voice as I am talking to you right now, but He speaks through His Word. He deals with us. He teaches us and convicts us in our hearts. God speaks to us through other Christians, and God speaks to us through the circumstances of life. And brethren, God wants you to have an intimate relationship with Him, talking with Him, Him talking to you. And a part of this is that we are building a strong foundation. Now, brethren, I do not know what the days are ahead for you and me. We cannot see into the future. By the way, I'm glad that we cannot. I know that many of us would like to see what's the next day ahead of us. But brother, if you knew what was coming in the next year or 2 or 5 years, I don't think we could bear it. I think the load would be too great. Reminds me of the story of a man and his daughter that were on a ship and many years ago. And they had so much fun on that ship. They enjoyed the time together. He enjoyed his little daughter's laughter. But it was just a few days after the ship landed and they went to shore that the daughter got a terrible sickness and she died. You know what the man said? He said, "I could have never enjoyed the journey if I knew that at the destination my daughter was going to die." You know, in fact, oftentimes we need to enjoy the journey. God wants us to enjoy the journey of life. Listen, I'm not holding on until I get to heaven. I want to enjoy the life that God has given to me. I want to enjoy my wife and my children and the responsibility that I have to pastor. But I need to focus on the foundation of my life. Now tonight, the question is not if storms will come, but what will happen to you when they do come. You see, both the wise man and the foolish man encountered a storm. There was nothing that they could do to stop the storm from coming. It was coming to their life. I have seen Christians that storms come and they throw in the towel, per se. They get mad at God. They quit. They stop serving the Lord. They stop coming to church. They stop reading the Bible. They stop praying. They stop telling others of Christ. They are so discouraged, they didn't have a good foundation. But many of us have seen Christians. They go through the storms of life. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I look at them and I marvel. How do you have such peace? How do you have such joy? How do you have such rest? I'll tell you why. Because they have a good foundation. And the foundation is built upon the rock, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. You know, our primary goal in life is not just to stop the storms, because you can't stop them, or to avoid the storms, but to build upon a strong foundation, because the storms will come. Now, by the way, all of us, we will respond either one or two ways when storms come. You can respond by obsessing over your hatred of the storm, Or you can respond by discovering God's grace in the midst of the storm. By the way, if you study the great Christians of years gone by, you will find something to be true. They all encountered storms. And you know what you will find about the Christians that were not dedicated to Christ? They still encountered storms. But the difference is the Christians who, in the midst of the storm, they found the grace of God. They found the strength that God gave to them. By the way, we think about Fanny Crosby, and some of her hymns are some of my favorite hymns. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's a wonderful hymn. And we think about Fanny Crosby. Do you know that she was born with sight? She could see. But a doctor who was just visiting, he put the wrong solution into her eyes, and it blinded Fanny Crosby. Do you know that that man was humiliated? That man felt like a failure because of what he accidentally did to a little precious baby. But do you know what Fanny Crosby said? She could have become a bitter woman. She could have been angry at God and angry at this man. But she said it was an act of God that the man put the wrong solution into her eyes, because she would have never written the hymn. She would have never been dedicated to Christ like she was if she could have saw. That's what she said. And you know what she said? She said, the very first person that I will ever see with my eyes is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. How can a lady be that way? Because she had her foundation. She was a woman who knew the Bible, and she knew God through the Bible. Brethren, tonight, build a strong foundation. By the way, if you study the Bible, you will find men like Noah, Elijah, and David, and Paul, and Job. These were men of God, but they were not exempt from storms. In fact, you understand about Job. I believe that Job even misjudged God. In fact, we find at the end of the story of Job that he repented and dust and ashes. It was not because of some hidden sin in Job's life. Job, he misjudged God, and God dealt with him. But he weathered the storm because his foundation was right. We think about Noah. Think of Noah. He built the ark for 120 years and he preached and nobody believed Noah. They laughed and scorned. But guess what? The storm came. But Noah's a great example. He had the right foundation. Noah was prepared with the ark for the storm that came. Brethren, the difference in the outcome of a storm is not dependent on the storm itself, but it is dependent on the foundation that we have built before the storm ever came. So tonight, how are we going to build a strong foundation? Well, tonight, if we think about a foundation has to have a blueprint. We still have the blueprints from the building, the fellowship hall. In fact, we still have the blueprints for this building and for all the different buildings. They have blueprints. And you know what? I remember when they were building the fellowship hall, they had some kind of thing that they had made out there, and they stretched out those blueprints. And I would stand out there sometimes and just watch them. An electrician would come over and he'd look at the blueprint. In fact, he had his own set of blueprints, and he would make sure that he was following the blueprint. And they would make sure that the dimensions on the blueprint matched what they were doing. Well, tonight, I want to give you a blueprint on how to build a solid, strong foundation. By the way, you know something tonight? Storms do reveal. And I alluded to this morning. By the way, sometimes people say, boy, I had this terrible thing happen to me, and because of that, I became a bitter Christian. No, can I tell you, that's not true. The thing that happened to you only revealed what was already in your heart. You see, storms expose weakness. You think about a tree. And you know what? A tree might look good, but you know what? A bad storm come by and it will expose what nobody else could see. It will expose the rotten parts of that tree. It will expose what insects were doing to that tree. And nobody could see it on the outside, but the storm revealed it. It brought it to surface. And folks, storms reveal the weakness in our life. And by the way, we ought to thank God for the storms of life, because the storms of life is what brings us to His refuge. And the storms of life is where God can do a work in our hearts. Folks, if our hope and trust and our dependence has not been in the Lord, then the storms of life is going to reveal that. In fact, if our hope and trust have been in ourselves, or maybe other people, or maybe our achievements, or maybe we are depending on our finances, or whatever it may be, when the storms of life come, we will find out that we did not build on the right foundation. Now, brother, I want to say this before I give you this tonight. Maybe you're here this evening, and I know that in every message I preach, there might be some people that could sit there and they could almost be under condemnation. Can I tell you this? God never sends condemnation. He sends conviction. He never sends condemnation. Condemnation is from the devil. And by the way, I've been there before. I've been sitting in service before. I've read my Bible before where the devil wants to condemn me. He wants to bring that regret. Look, every one of us tonight, we would love to go back in life and undo lots of things. We'd like to go back. You know, we'd like to hit the rewind button and redo it, would we not? But listen, brethren, God does not want us to live in the past. He does not want us to live in regret and being in despair about the past. God brings conviction, and He convinces us of the truth. And tonight, you may say, Pastor, I have not built on a good foundation. Well, I've got wonderful news for you tonight. As I said this morning, God is also, He's in the business of building, but He's also in the business of destroying things that need to be destroyed. And He's in the business of repairing the areas in our life that need to be repaired. In fact, the Bible says that we are His workmanship. Oh, listen, brethren, God's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. He's still at work in each and every one of us. And let's let Him have His way. And tonight you may say, I've got a bad foundation in this area and this area. Well, then let the Lord undo that foundation and you can begin building the right kind of foundation. Number one tonight, here's the blueprint. Number one, build with purpose. Build with purpose. Now, I said this morning, everyone is building on something. You are building. In fact, you are always building something in your life through your actions, through the decisions that you make. You are building. So tonight, let's build on purpose. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I always wanted to have a tree house. I mean, tree house. And no girls allowed, by the way, all right? And, well, I remember. And we had trees there, and I lived in Halls, Tennessee at the time, and just kind of outside of Knoxville. And we had the perfect tree for it. A tree and another tree had come together, and I mean, they were just right there. And I remember spending all day working on that tree house. Man, I put stuff up there, and you know something? I didn't have an idea of what I was doing, you know? I just found some loose boards, and boy, we put them up in that tree and thought that that was a tree house. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It takes purpose, God's purpose, to build the right kind of foundation. You know, when we built this building, we didn't just say, all right, guys, where you want to build? Let's start building. Y'all go get some lumber. I'll get some concrete. No, we had to build on purpose. We had to say, okay, first, we've got to lay the right kind of foundation. First, we've got to do this. We've got to make sure it's level. We've got to make sure everything is in place. And if you are going to build a strong foundation, you must build with purpose. Now, how do you build with purpose? Let me be clear. You build on God's Word. Now, what does that mean? Now, understand that the story in Matthew chapter 7 is not about one man building a house and another man not building a house. No, they both built houses. But the difference was that one man built on purpose. He built on the rock. You know why? He knew the storms were coming. Now, we don't know the story. It was a parable that God gave to us. Could it have been the man who built on sand? He didn't have time to build on the rock. Maybe he didn't have the resources, at least he thought, to build on the rock. Maybe he wanted to build the house quicker than the man build it on the rock. No matter what it was, The man who built on the rock built on purpose. He was preparing. He knew the storms were coming. The winds were coming. The rain was coming. And he was ready and he was prepared. And he was sure because he built on the rock. We must build on God's word. Now, please understand tonight. And in fact, if you want to write this down, make God's word your primary influence. Do you know tonight that we are all influenced by lots of things? By the way, do you not think that social media influences us? How many would agree with that tonight? Absolutely. Now, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. We have an influx of information today. An influx of it. In fact, I read recently that I think it's like 60-something percent of Americans, the first thing they do when they wake up is reach for their phone, and they usually are looking at their phone before they ever do anything else. And I understand that. You know, being an administrator of a school, you know, I'm looking at my phone. Is there any problems, any things I have to deal with? Are any schools closed? And of course, the kids are praying and fasting for that, all right? We understand that. And but can I say this to you? That is an influence. So we've got to make sure that that influence is a good, godly influence in our life. What about the books? In fact, someone said years ago, they said, I can tell you what kind of person you will be 5 years from now by the books you read and the friends you have. I think it's true. Why? Because we have influence. Listen, that's why it's so important to come to the house of God, because that is a good influence in your life. Someone said to me this morning, they were coming through and they said, Pastor, it is so good to be in church. And they said, we are thankful for the live stream. And you know, it's good for when you can't come to the church. But they said, it's just not the same. It's just not it. In fact, I heard someone say, live stream, it's a great blessing and it's a great tool. And we will continue to do it for people that are not able to be here. But someone said, it's kind of like looking at a fireplace from a distance. You enjoy it from a distance, but you don't feel the warmth, you know? And when you come to the house of God, you know what you get? You get the warmth of godly influence. Folks, you need good influence in your life. Friendship is an influence. Let's make sure that your friends have a heart for God if you want to have a heart for God. Listen, if your friends don't love God, you're not going to love God. If your friends don't want to obey the Lord and read His Word and pray, you will not want to do that. So God's Word should be our primary influence. By the way, all of us choose who or what we allow to influence our lives. When I first came to know Christ as my Savior, I had some friends that were not good influence in my life. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord does. There is a separating work that God does in your heart. You know what? I remember I had a friend, and his name was Shane, and him and I were friends in school, in high school. And I came to know the Lord as my Savior, and I wanted to live for Christ. And I remember telling Shane, I said, Shane, I want you to know something. I got saved. And Shane, I'm going to live for the Lord. And I said, hey, I hope you and I can still be friends and that we can just live for the Lord together. Well, you know what happened? It wasn't that he decided or I decided. He went his way and I went my way. You see, what happened was I was going a direction and I can't follow him anymore. Because now the influence in my life is different than what his influence was. I couldn't listen to the same music that I listened to with him. I couldn't go the same places because now the influence of my life, I was getting God's word in my heart and it was changing my thinking. It was changing everything about me. So the primary influence in your life should be the word of God. By the way, that means that we ought to be taking in great portions of God's word. Can I encourage you? Maybe some of you, maybe you have tough schedules. If you're a mom, you have a tough schedule. You have to take care of those children and all of that. But you know, honestly, I believe this. We make time for what is important to us. I believe that's true in life. It's true in my life. Listen, I don't remember the last time I missed a meal because I forgot about eating. Do you remember that? Somebody gave my wife and I a strawberry pie this morning. And I'll tell you, that's nearest to the pastor's heart than anything, all right? And boy, I'll tell you know what? I didn't forget about eating some of that pie this afternoon. I didn't go home and say, I forgot about that pie. No, I was thinking about it as soon as they told me Sunday morning. It was hard to preach because I was thinking about it, all right? But you know something? Look, we give time to what's important to us. We are as close to God tonight as we want to be. I am as good a Christian as I want to be. If I love God's Word, it's because I want to love God's Word. Folks, tonight, it must be our primary influence. Take your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter number 2, and I want us to look in verse number 6. Now, by the way, as you're turning there, I want you to remember 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, my wife and I got to see the little Bierman baby, Bradley Bierman. That's a good name. And my wife got to hold him. And they said, Pastor, do you want to hold him? I said, nope, I want him to get a little bigger before I hold him. All right, I held our kids when they were little, but they were our kids, you know. And but he's the cutest little thing. But I'm going to tell you something. That baby's got to grow. And it's normal and natural for it to grow, but it has to have something to grow. It has to have food. Now, you think about babies. You know something? Babies can't skip several days of eating and then just kind of catch up by eating a lot in one day. It doesn't work that way. A baby has to have daily nourishment to grow. Well, folks, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You cannot build a good, solid foundation unless you build on purpose. And building on purpose is purposeful reading and hiding the Word of God in your heart. Folks, you have to have the Bible. You've got to get it in your heart and life. Make the time. Get up earlier in the morning or have time that you block out. I'll tell you what we have done as a family that has helped us. There's a certain time that we try to set aside. Now, it doesn't work all the time. You understand how that goes. But we set aside that time. This is the time that we're going to sit down and read the Word of God together. Do you have that time? Colossians chapter number 2, look what the Bible says in verse number 6. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There it is. God connects His Word with our influence. In fact, God says to beware. You know what? Some Christians are allowing social media to influence them instead of the Word of God. Some Christians are allowing the television, and they're just getting so much of that into their life. That's their primary influence. I figured out something when I was youth pastor for 12 years. I could not combat a teenager's life if they were getting hours and hours of entertainment and they were not getting the Word of God. I could not do on Sunday and Wednesday to combat what they were getting throughout the week. Do you understand something tonight? Your influence, what are you allowing to influence your life? Are the shows you're watching, are they pleasing to the Lord? Is the videos that you're watching, is it pleasing to the Lord? Is it the right kind of influence in your life? Your friends, your books that you are reading, now all the things in our life should be the right influence. And it should be healthy. And it should be stirring to our hearts. We've got to build on purpose. And let me say this to you tonight. Brethren, I love you, but I want you to hear me out. If your intake of Scripture is just what you get on Sunday and Wednesday from me preaching, you will never build the right kind of foundation. You just can't do it. You know what? That would be like eating just Sunday and Wednesday. I don't recommend it. I'm not planning to do it. And I don't think it's good. But folks, if this is all you're getting is Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and that's all you're getting, but you're not feeding on God's Word, you're not taking in the Bible, you cannot build a strong and solid foundation. Now, also, make God's Word your primary influence, but act on the truth that you know. By the way, I heard the story about a pastor. He got up in church and he preached Sunday morning, preached a great message. Sunday night, he preached the same message. And folks were kind of like, well, that's okay. The next Sunday, he preached the same message he preached before, Sunday morning and Sunday night. The next Sunday, and by this time, people were saying, "Preacher, we love you, but do you just have one message?" And he said this. He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll preach another message when you start obeying the message that I preached before." Boy, what if I did that? That'd be pretty dangerous, wouldn't it? Folks, can I tell you something? You and I know enough right now. We know enough of what we're supposed to do that I probably wouldn't have to preach for another year. Because the truth of the matter is, we've got to act on what we know. Folks, we build on the rock by hearing and obeying, doing the Word of God. Folks, by the way, the sand. What are you building tonight? Are you building on the rock? You're building on the Bible, on the truth of God's Word? Or are you building on your opinions? You're building on what man thinks, the acceptance of others, or your feelings? Boy, that's dangerous. It's dangerous to build your life and to make decisions based on what you feel. Listen, there's sometimes I don't feel like getting up in the morning. You ever get that place in your life? Would you raise your hand? Am I the only one? I don't want the teenagers to raise their hand because I know what they would say, all right? But you know what? I get up because I've got a family to provide for. I'm supposed to follow the Lord. Do you ever feel like always coming to church? I don't think any of us would admit to that. There's times we don't feel like coming. But I am not basing my decisions on my feelings. I'm basing my decisions on the basis of God's Word. I understand there's times you're sick and you need to stay home. But brethren, tonight, build on the rock, a solid foundation. So we build on purpose. Number two, we build with consistency. Now that's very important. Do you know that building takes time? In fact, setting a foundation takes time. And time is often our problem. That's where we get in trouble. You see, I said this morning that 92% of the New Year's resolutions fail by January, the end of January. That's pretty staggering, is it not? I'm not going to ask you if you made resolutions and you've already destroyed those resolutions. I'm not going to ask you that tonight. But I will admit there's times when I've said, boy, I'm going to do this. It's easy to get started. But consistency is the key. The problem is, you know what we want? I told my wife years ago, I was getting bigger and bigger for Jesus, and it wasn't in my Christian life, all right? It was the other way, all right? I came here, and you guys took such good care of us. I gained a lot of weight when we came here. And I think people are taking me out to eat and all that. But I needed to lose some weight. I remember I was joking with my wife one day. I'd been on a diet for 2 days. I said, honey, I'm quitting. I haven't lost any weight, you know? It's 2 days now. You know that. You know how that feels. You might go a week. You might go 2 weeks without really seeing any results. But if you quit, guess what? You just go right back to it. Folks, consistency in the Christian life. You may say, Pastor, I read the Bible this morning. I just didn't get much out of it. Keep reading. And Pastor, I came to church and I just didn't really get much out of it. Keep coming to church. Pastor, I'm praying and my prayers are not getting answered. Keep praying. You see, we want immediate results. We live in a culture today that we want things done now. An instant society. But brethren, if we are going to build the right kind of foundation, we've got to build with consistency. And let me tell you this, building a foundation is routine. You know what? We don't like routine, do we not? In fact, folks, building a foundation isn't glamorous. In fact, it doesn't show quick results. I told you this morning, that often I go out there and it's been a week and I'm like, doesn't look like a whole lot's gotten done, but a lot had gotten done. Doesn't look like we're seeing anything. I want to see some walls. I want to see some carpet. You know, we want that stuff. But the foundation takes time. Folks, it takes persistence and a willingness to go day by day in dependence on Christ, letting Him do His work in your heart. You know, folks, if we are going to build, we got to build on purpose. We got to build with consistency. By the way, what about Noah's life? Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. Could you imagine what did Noah do to the news that God gave to him? He obeyed. God told Noah, Noah, I want you to build an ark. It's never rained before, but it's going to rain. All right, what's rain? You know, I mean, Noah has no idea. God said, I'm going to send a flood. What's a flood? Noah had no idea about that, but he took God's word and his response was he heard it and he obeyed it. Guess what? Did it happen the next year? No. What about 10 years? No. 50 years, 60 years, 70, 120 years later, you know what Noah's doing? Obeying and doing what God wanted him to do. And can I tell you, he built on a solid foundation. Let's think about Mary, the very mother of the Lord Jesus. Mary, who had to put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Mary was not perfect. But can I tell you something about Mary's life? When she heard God's plan for her, that she was going to bear a child, literally of the Holy Spirit, and remember the angel said, that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. You know what Mary said? Be it unto me according to thy word. You know what that meant? Mary was going to be mocked. She was going to be misunderstood. She was going to be misrepresented. The ladies were going to laugh at her. But Mary heard it and she obeyed the word of God. By the way, years later, when Jesus was a full-grown man and he was preaching the Word of God, there was a time when someone said, "Oh, how blessed the woman who bare you." You know what Jesus said in response to that? You don't have to turn there, but let me read it to you in Luke 11:28. When Jesus was teaching, and when he was teaching, and this woman talked about how great Mary no doubt was, the Lord Jesus said in Luke 11:28, the Bible says, let me just read verse 27. It says, "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee." And the Bible says in verse 28, "And he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Let me tell you who the blessed are. The ones who hear it and do it." Why? Because they are building on purpose, but they're building consistently. By the way, we don't have time to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but it talks about an athlete. Now, let me ask you something, all right? By the way, a week from Tuesday, me and the other coaches, and I'm not a coach, but I'm a ref, all right? I ref the boys' game. It's out of control, but it's fun, all right? But we're going to play the high school guys. Now, we beat them like a drum every year. We just let them know who's in charge, all right? But anyway, you know what I'm nervous about? I'm going to play Tuesday, and I haven't played basketball in a long time. You know what's going to happen on Wednesday morning? I will think I'm dying, all right? That's probably what's going to happen. You know, it's kind of foolish to think. You know, could you imagine someone wanting to compete in the Olympics and thinking, "Yeah, the Olympics are a year away. I'm going to wait till a month before and start training." Well, that's ridiculous. You know why? They've got to train for months, maybe even years, to compete at the Olympics. Why? Because the body has to be conditioned. In fact, we went over and played the Mechanicsburg High School team last week. And of course, we have a Bible club there, and the coach sponsors our club. And he said, "Pastor, just come over and play us." And we played five quarters actually. And they brought the score back to zero every quarter. And that was a good thing, because sometimes our score didn't change at all. They didn't have to do anything, just left it. All right. But anyway, we had a good time. But you know what? Our guys, they practice one day a week. Those guys practice 5 days a week. I mean, it was a big difference. And one of the coaches said, "Hey, just remember, these guys are practicing every school day. And they're practicing for many hours." Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. The Christian life, it must be understood that we've got to be consistent day in and day out. We've got to continue in church. Don't get discouraged. Don't live in despair. "I'm not growing as fast as I want to grow." God's at work. He's working. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." By the way, this means that we've got to avoid excuses. You know what? Being a minister of every school, I've heard some of the greatest excuses in America. All right? I have. People want to have an excuse. "Well, I'm not a good Christian because of this. Well, I'm not faithful to God because of this." And sometimes we can have the attitude tonight, "Well, if my job didn't leave me exhausted, or if I had a godly husband, or if I had a godly wife, or if I was brought up like you, Pastor, then maybe I would have a heart for God like this." Brethren, let's do away with the excuses, and let's know that every one of us tonight can have a personal walk with God because God has made it that way. Listen, you can live for God even if nobody else in your family is living for God. You can take a stand for Christ in your school if you're the only student in that school living for Jesus Christ, because that is the personal relationship that we have with Him. Number three, the last thing tonight. We build on purpose. We build in consistency. But number three, we build with faith. Now, here's something wonderful. You know, the wise builder in Jesus' analogy, he would not have gone to all the work of building on the rock if he didn't believe that the extra effort would have made a difference. He, by faith, knew the storm was coming. He, by faith, knew that it was going to be worth it one day. And hear me out tonight. Brethren, the Lord Jesus said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye what? Faint not." You know what? I fainted a lot in my Christian life. Well, that's it. I'm done. I can't understand the Bible, so I'm just not going to read the Bible. That's fainting. I'm not going to pray because I can't seem to pray. God doesn't answer my prayer. That's the wrong attitude to have, and it's not right. But we faint. And the Lord said, "Be not weary." We get weary, but we must build with faith. Folks, sometimes the reason we struggle to build a strong foundation is that we just don't believe it's necessary. Maybe we don't think the storm will come. Maybe we think that it's not worth it. Folks, I want you to know something tonight. As the song has written, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I want you to know tonight, when you stand before the Lord, you will not regret anything that you did for Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you this, as the song also says, "By and by when I look on His face, I wish I had given Him more." There's no doubt about it. Folks, by faith, we need to know that this is where faith comes in. Faith is looking unto Jesus. Faith is taking God at His word. Faith is knowing that what we lay up treasure in heaven, it will be worth it one day. I think sometimes Christians struggle because it doesn't seem like it's worth it. Is it worth it to take a stand? It's worth it. It may not be, you may not see it now, but one day it'll be worth it. You say the work, the labor to get to church, is it worth it? It will be worth it. You may not see it now. Folks, by the way, one of the most encouraging truths about faith is that your faith can grow. Oh, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In fact, hold truth when your feelings tell you differently. And your feelings will tell you differently. Folks, listen, if you live just by your feelings, I'm not saying that we should disregard our feelings. God gave us feelings. But if that is the basis for the decisions that we make in life, that's a wrong basis for our decisions. Folks, there will be times when you know to be true from God's word contradicts everything that you are feeling in your heart and mind. For instance, maybe you're wounded. You know the scriptures teach that you are to give forgiveness, but you feel like holding bitterness is better for you. Take God at His word. Maybe you're discouraged and you know that there is hope and peace in Christ, but you feel hopeless and you feel that giving into despair is better than putting your hope in the Lord. Folks, what do you do when your feelings run contrary to the truth? Determines the kind of foundation that you will build. You know something? Let's take a mom. We've got lots of ladies having little babies in our church, and we've got more having children. I think we're going to have to use the sound booth as part of the nursery, I think. All right? I'm not sure. All right? But we enlarged that nursery, and I don't think it's big enough. All right? We'll just use Brother Stevenson's office. It'll be fine. All right? But anyway, all right? I'm just kidding. But you know something? You know, there's great things about a mom and her child. I mean, when you talk about joy and pleasure, but it's not all joy. There's a lot of hard work and labor involved. And if a mom is just going to base it on just the good times, that's not going to work. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Being in a family, boy, a family is a blessing, but there's some dark days in families. And we've got to hold true to what we know to be true from God's word. That's our foundation. And there's times when our feelings run contrary to the Bible. Then we must hold to God's word. Hold to the Bible. Brethren, if you trust your feelings above God's Word, you will not build a sure foundation. But if you trust God's Word above your feelings, you will have an anchor of hope. In fact, Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil. Tonight, I want you to build on purpose. Build on purpose. Let God's Word be your primary influence, but build in consistency. Don't quit. Don't give up. And tonight, if you're off track, then you can get back on track tonight. And if you're not building the right foundation, you can begin tonight and then build by faith. Just take God at His Word. It will be worth it. My mom and dad, God bless them, they were here recently. They still live in Knoxville, Tennessee. My mom and dad both grew up in homes where, my mom, her dad, we weren't really sure that he knew the Lord. But my mom's mom, my grandma, Grandma Rosenbaum, I believe she knew the Lord. She was a sweet lady. But the home was a mess. I mean, just a mess. My dad grew up in a home where he had a lost father, a mother who was saved, but a mother who stayed at home, lived literally pretty much on prescription drugs, just literally absent. That home was a mess. When my mom and dad came together and got married, they determined that they were going to have a Christian home. But my dad has told me it was tough throughout their early years. My dad got married and was 18 years old. You know, and my mom, I think she was 18 or 19. They were just kids. And they didn't know a lot. They were growing and learning. And boy, it was tough and trying and testing. And my dad has said there was times they just wanted to quit. Well, is it worth it? But you know what? Today, I'm thankful that my mom and dad didn't quit. I'm thankful that they stayed to the course. You know what? This church has had a great history. But I'm going to tell you something. This church has had times of trials and testings. I'm thankful that this church has stayed the course and you have stayed the course with it. You know something? One day, we're going to look back and say, you know what? It was tough, but I'm glad I didn't stop following Jesus Christ. And brethren, tonight, build your foundation. Build on purpose. Build in consistency and build by faith. And realize, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is working. If you'll just hear and obey, then He will enable you. He will strengthen you. And He'll build what needs to be built in your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's been a pleasure and an honor to preach Your Word. And Lord, You know our lives. You know every one of us here. You see us like no man can see us. You know whether or not we have a strong foundation on the rock or a weak foundation on the sand. But Lord, I pray You'd speak to us tonight and that we would build on purpose and build in consistency and build in faith. Lord, do Your work tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say this evening, preacher, the Lord has dealt with me about something specific in my own life. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pastor, God has dealt with me. Amen. Amen. Let's let Him have His way. Let's stand together, would you please? I'd like to finish this prayer and then let's sing and let the Lord have His way. Father, we pray tonight that we would be obedient to You. Thank You for Your love to us. Lord, may our foundation get stronger and may we continue to grow in our Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. We'll go to hymn number 826. I've decided to follow Jesus. God has spoken to you tonight. Find a place to pray. Let the Lord build in your life what He wants to build. Hymn number 826.
online. If you need to get signed up for the church directory, please do so. And let me tell you, next Sunday, of course, we'll be here and be excited about preaching the Bible. Sunday night, after the evening service, we are going to have a celebration for the adoption of Elijah. And I told you this morning, we're going to have ice cream and pizza, all right? Healthy, but right along the lines of what Elijah told me he wanted, all right? So we'll be good. And also, the Libby family, they've been with us, was it 2 years, almost three? Is it going on that? All right, we are so thankful to have them here. He's military, and they really, this is, I think, the longest place you have been. And we've loved this family, but next Sunday will be their last Sunday before they move to San Antonio, Texas, all right? And we're going to miss them. And I told them today, I'm not saying goodbye yet, all right? I'll do that next Sunday, all right? But we've loved having them here. They said probably one of the kindest things to me. They said, Pastor, we've been to lots of churches, moved around all over the place, been military, and this is the one place we want to pick the church up and take with us, all right? Now, San Antonio sounds pretty good in January and February, I'll tell you that, all right? And that'd be good, a satellite church or something, you know? But you pray for them and make sure between now and Sunday that you'll get to say hello to them and unfortunately goodbye. But we hope they can visit whenever they can. And we thank the Lord for them. They've served here. They've been a faithful family. And we thank the Lord for them. Well, let's close in word of prayer tonight. And I pray you have a great week. Let's pray together. Father, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. And Lord, you've blessed us today. You've given us good numbers, visitors. It's been a wonderful thing. But Lord, now may we take what we have heard and may we act on it. May we build on purpose and faith and to build in consistency. Bless us, strengthen us. We pray tomorrow that you put your hand upon everything with Elijah and the Stevensons. And we pray that you would bless there. And Father, continue to bless this church. This is your church. And we ask you to build it and to grow it according to thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.